guys. Today is not part of the delegation to make any presentation or to take any questions, but to observe and settle in a new position. And that observer is Professor from the University. Those who don't know Professor from the University, he was a professor of law at the University of Pretoria in the 80s. I had the honor of studying with him in Germany in the early 80s. And I can inform you that he was actually at the center of the 10 points of our human rights concept in this country. On the 1st of May 1986, when he was running a center that he established called the Center for Human Rights at the University of Pretoria, he organized a human rights conference where the debate was about, do we need human rights or group rights? That's where the real constitutional debate started under his watch. And from that time, 1987, the ANC issued a statement of negotiation. 1988, the government issued constitutional proposals. And 1989, there was a declaration. And there also the release of political organizations and the process for starting the constitutional changes took place. So he was also central in the making of the new constitution. So we're really happy to have someone that we can actually call the father of our new constitutional order. So I think this department and the country is blessed to have him as a judge of the constitutional court and now as the respecting judge.
Honourable members, we are going to have a slight challenge because of depending on the overhead collection for the transition part. Not a paint mesh. It will be sorted out as I am presented. I will just refer to you that which page I am now in your document. So a good document to watch. Tell me which one that I need to make up a case. And I've been given only 5 minutes, if I'm not mistaken, to quickly go through the presentation. I will try, by all means, to be as short as possible. Don't know whether I am audible at best. The outline of the presentation will be on this following topics. The purpose of the presentation, overview of the key arrangement of this, functions and core responsibilities, the strategic objectives, investigation, inspection, complaints, management system, mandatory reporting, and in what document is placed by but that was not so much presented for that, then I have removed it from my document. Then administration and then recommendation. Then when you go to the purpose of the presentation, the purpose of this presentation is to report to the House on the impact of the investigation, inspection, complaints management system, mandatory reporting, and the recent outbreak of leptospirosis has posed more questions at center. Then the overview of the legal marriage. As you know, that the reference to the judicial effective administration is a teacher of status, and it was created by Section 85 of Section 1 of the Correctional Act as amended, and heading after will be referred to as CFA. Then Section 85 of Section 2 provides that the object of the judicial inspectorate is to facilitate the inspection of correctional centers in order that the inspecting judge may report on the treatment of inmates in correctional centers and on conditions in correctional centers. These are our mandates on the treatment and also the conditions of the center. Then the functions and core responsibilities of JIC. The inspecting judge inspects or arrange for the inspection of correctional centers and remand facilities in order to report on the treatment of inmates in correctional centers and remand facilities and on condition and any corrupt or dishonest practices in correctional centers and remand facilities. Deal with complaints received from specific sources and allow for exceptional cases where it will deal with complaints received from directly from ICC. As you know, all that as to the common that ICC stands for independent correctional center visitors who are the eyes and ears of the judge in a center, and we intend to have at least one in a center, depending on the ratio, of course. Submit a report on each inspection to the Minister and Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services. Submit an annual report to the Minister and the President. Conduct an investigation by having an inquiry and holding hearings. Assign function to inspectors, assess on conducting hearings, and make rules not inconsistent with that. Then when it comes to the strategy of our objective, our strategic objective, as it is written in the strategic document, it is to provide effective independent oversight relating to the treatment of inmates and the conditions in correctional centers and facilities. Facilities are the private prisons. That's the one in Malawi and the other one in Kudamatin. Then we have the strategic indicator that we are measured on. Then it talks like this. The percentage of correctional facilities and the triple P facilities inspected on conditions and treatment of inmates. We have a 5-year target that starts from 2013 up until 2019. Then in 2013-2014, out of the 243 correctional centers that we have, we inspected 93, which is 38% of that number. Then in 2014-2015, we inspected 91 out of 243, which is 37%. Then in 2015-2016, we inspected 102 out of 242. And in 2016-2017, we intend to insert 81 out of 240. And in 2017-2018, we intend to insert 158 out of 245. And as from 2018-2019, we intend to insert each and every center from last year on forward, with the hope that we'll be having with the capacitated in terms of our staff. That's why we have made this into this multiplier number, because we don't have capacity so far. But yesterday, we were blessed with the visit of the CDC, Action CDC HR, where we discussed the issues of our capacity. And we were excited, can we say, that we are going to have a provision to advertise on permanent basis within this month, if possible. The one investigation, which on your page it has completed, it will be page 8. Investigations are conducted under the allegation of gross human rights crimes. The purpose of investigation is to test the veracity or truthfulness of the allegation, to ensure the safety of inmates, make findings on guilt or not, and make recommendations to DPS for remedial action. And questions? Honourable Member and Secretary, we have four regions currently, which is the Southern Management Region in Bloemfontein, we have the Eastern Management Region in KZN, Devon. We have the Northern Management Region in Gauteng, and we have the Central Management Region in Bloemfontein. If quickly I can fill them up and address the situation, we all intend to expand on this topic so that we're able to be visible in all of the centers and expand to the number of the offices that we see as well. If, of course, there is a belief that the proposal for 9 provinces and also the expanding towards 9 provinces. Then in terms of the inspections targeted at these offices, in Southern Management, they targeted 10 in the actual province of 11. Then in the Eastern Management Region, it was 9, the actual performance was 5. The Northern Management Region was 10 and the actual performance was 7. The central management was 11 and the actual performance was 8. Then the total of all targets was 20, but the actual performance was 31. Excuse me, if you can continue now, on your page, it will be page 12 on the inspection. The focus area on inspection, we focus on the following areas for areas. And we shall be in the focus area, the main findings, recommendations, and whether check whether DCS complies or not. Then the focus area on a certain population regarding the human rights. And the HCC, which is AIDS Correctional Center, view on his or her challenges. The main findings, some centers remain severely overcrowded, especially those in urban centers. Professional staff shortage remains, especially in rural centers. Main challenges according to the HCC interviewed are staff shortage and infrastructure and overcrowding. Then the recommendation of that is to consider appointing more professional staff, especially in rural areas. Overcrowding in rural areas are often as a result of high number of remand detainees. This is to utilize the legislation that is section 49G as a measure to reduce overcrowding, and also section 52F of the Criminal Procedure Act. Then the compliance on DCS. We have seen DCS embarking on the operational HERA. It's HERA, it's a good name. I guess I'm pronouncing it correctly. You. Oh. So on that score, they have sort of complied then also this earth is currently not colliding with the Earth's suspension for the 9G of the cosmic event. Then another part here is one, the conduct of officials, in particular those disciplined at the instance of complaints by inmates, e.g. assault, excessive use of force during EST operation. Please allow me just to hijack again. Last month, I happened to go to KZN to do a surprise visit, whereby there is this belief that EST, when they engage in their activities, then they assault inmates and so on. They were not expecting us, but upon our arrival, we were actually happy the way the professionalism that was taken there. We have seen what was happening. They have confiscated about 200 plus cell phones and the cash of about 9,000, and also other forms of assets. And so on. But then I saw hope that that group can sort of teach these others who are conducting the search in other centers and also that engaging in assault of people. Then the main findings are complaints are received from inmates in some instances where EFT officials exceed their power according to the allegation of assault and even torture during surprise next week. Then the recommendation that EFT must conduct searching in a human way in all times and searching operations with visual coverage as they ought. Then compliance, instances where the inspectorate received complaints from inmates regarding assaults during mass searching have decreased in the past financial year. Then another focus here is on the stage of the physical infrastructure that is able to qualify as human condition. Then the main finding, due to the overcrowding, but also to the lack of a proper maintenance and the subscalar workmanship, the majority of the centers visited are in need of renovation. Then the recommendation that DCS must plan, DCS must put plans in place to effect proper maintenance in all of the centers, including the time frame. We know that this is the jurisdiction of public works. We hope that public works will be returned into feature in assisting the renovation of the center. Then another focus area will be the complaints management system, which will be discussed in the subsequent slide. Then we'll go to the provision and the adequate of health care services. There is a shortage of nurses, especially in the small rural centers. Nevertheless, health care facilities in general is in a good condition and managed effectively. Then the recommendation of DCF to consider appointing permanent nurses at all its centers. As I said, operation giver, they are compliant. Then on the another focus area is on the provision and adequacy of rehabilitation and educational programs. In the remote detention center, there are no programs. Then the recommendations are just to consider offering programs to some inmates, including those which are in their mind. Then the compliance that DCF only provides problems for sentence inmates. The investigation, which is currently taking on the documents. Sorry, question. Continue. Focus area, communication with family, including this. In some of the older and smaller centers, these areas are not enough to effect a suitable environment for business. Some of the centers are situated far from town and it's difficult to get into the center utilizing a public transport. The recommendation is that GCS work together with NGOs to organize transport and to organize transport to and from these centers. Compliance that in some cases GCS provides public provide public with transport, especially during training day. Then on issues of tests, we will deal with this on the subsequent slide. Then we'll go to the exercise and recreational time. Then the main findings. Legislation means that inmates must be afforded at least 1 hour exercise per week. In some cases, inmates are afforded less time for the exercise because of staff shortage and or inmate behavior that when they are on that exercise, then they engage into gang, what's called a fight and so on. And also sometimes the structure of the center makes it so difficult for DCS to provide exercise in an open space. For example, if I can cite the one of a Portsmouth, which is like a block of flesh. So it would be difficult for them to create that environment for a teammate to have exercise and open space. Okay. Compliance. In some cases, DCS do not comply due to staff shortages and isolated area and or gang fight during this exercise. Then another focus area was on vulnerability in inmates, women, children, and disabled. Inmates who are identified as vulnerable are separated from the center's general population and also receive separate exercise. The recommendation, DCS to remain vigilant and identify vulnerable inmates at the reception area before they are allowed to meet with the general population. This has to comply on that. Then now we'll go to complaints management system, the key findings and functioning and impacts of the complaint system in your document to the page 50. May I have a question? Thank you very much. On complaints, complaints are derived from ICCB complaint system, and also we have complaints that are derived from the legal services under the section or the unit called complaints unit. Then under the ICCB complaint system, we have the following applicable legislation. That is Section 92 of the Correctional Services Act that deals with the appointment of ICCB, and Section 94 of the Correctional Services Act that deals with a visitor's committee. The ICCB also handles complaints in the center, and I guess in the presentation as I continue, you will see how effective they are. In terms of handling of the complaint of the center. The effectiveness of that, 18,188 complaints received, 18,075 resolved at the correctional center level, that's where the ICCB are. So you can see that they are so effective. If they are 18,000, 188, and they managed to resolve 18,075 before those complaints can come to us, then it shows how effective. We also have the Section 93 of the Correctional Services Act that deals with the powers and the functions and the functions of the ICCB, and also the Chapter 12 of the National Development Plan. The ICCB MLSP, this is the minimum standard of service delivery that comprises of the interview. ICCB will interview inmates in the handling of complaints and also deals with the monitoring of the G2C squad, whereby ICCB they will monitor the complaints that are registered in the G2C squad and follow them up in terms of their resolution. And also, Also, we have the visitors committee. And the visitors committee is the committee that comprises of the ICCB in that area, which is the jurisdiction of that area or all of ICCBs of that season, they will come together with stakeholders in the resolution of complaints. Then they will be able to sit down and also address complaints. And the head of the center are also invited to those meetings and other stakeholders. And should the complaint not being resolved in that then the complaint will be then escalated to the office of the inspecting judge, whereby it will be handled, and then the way of the judge will finally be confirmed. This now what I just said is the referral system of the inspecting judge under legal safety. We also have the management information system. And the management information system is able to provide the history of the complaint. However, this system needs to be upgraded. We have a challenge for that. Then can we go further? Then I'll get into the legal services complaints. Complaints that are handled by legal services. As I said, there's a unit in the legal services called the complaints unit. The applicable legislation there is Section 21 of the Personal Affairs Act that deals with complaints and requests. And Section 21, application to Section 5, explains the manner in which DCS should handle inmate complaints. Another function, DIC complaints unit deals with 23 category of complaints. Before you had 17 category of complaints, and this has now gone up into 23 category of complaints. The unit is designed to receive agents and their complaints from SCCB and members of public, such as the family member of inmates, government departments, and other chapter 9 institutions such as South African Human Rights Commission. And also, the inspecting judge also handles complaints as to his own volition or decision as per Section 90, Subsection 2 of Correctional Procedures. In Kaalia, it will be assault, counsel, and quarrel and other. People can go to assault. This is assisted DCS to look closer at its operational products and applicable legislation to prevent gross human rights violations. Then on issues of transfer, hope you are still following me. On issues of transfer, for the period October to December 2015, we had 2,411 transfers handled. Most inmates that are not transferred, they are still satisfied, however, that their complaints are being attended to. Then on parole, for the period of October to December 2015, we had 1,223 parole matters. We established a working relationship with the CNC, which is Hit Management Committee, and also the chairperson of parole board. We refer this complaint that deals with this parole board to them for them to expedite. Okay. Also, this right to DCS to facilitate the resolution of complaints. Complaints are fast-tracked by inquiring directly to head of center, follow-up inquiries to the area commissioner, regional commissioner, and sometimes to the national commissioner. And as the findings are submitted to DCS, but we are unable to measure the implementation. Then upon inquiring into the matter, then to submit our findings and recommendations to CL categories. And that simply goes to the mandatory report, which in your document should be page 20. The following provisions are in the handling of the medical report. In terms of the Correctional Services Act, the head of Correctional Center, which is HPC, are mandated to report the following actions and occurrences, that is, all deaths of inmates under Section 15, segregation of inmates under Section 30, use of mechanical restraint under Section 31, and use of force under Section 30. Then death. In terms of Section 15 of the Correctional Services Act, where an inmate and a medical practitioner cannot certify that the death was due to natural cause, the head of Correctional Center must, in terms of Section 2 of the Inquest Act 58 of 1969, report such death. And any death in the Correctional Center must be reported forthwith to the infecting judge, who may carry out or instruct the National Commission to conduct any inquiry. Then the historical context of reported unnatural death annually. In 2011-2012, 48 was reported. In 2012-2013, 57 was reported. In 2013-2014, 46 was reported. And in 2014, 2015, 2016, the impact crisis. UCSNG verifies the number of actual and natural deaths every quarter. The number of homicides by officials has decreased from 2009 to 2010, as a result of GIF reporting on detailed information. There is more transparency to the public in terms of the deaths that are occurring in the center. Then when we come to the patient, then in terms of the provision, which is Section 6 of Section 7 of the Correctional Services Act, an inmate who has been segregated may refer the matter to the inspecting judge for appeal. The judge should respond within 2 hours in terms of the matter. Then the appeal, the historical context now on the appeal of inmates, that in 2011-2012 we had 24 of those, and in 2013-2014 we had 7, 2013-2014 32, 2014-2015 35. Then the impact by GIC, inmates are referring matters of appeal to the inspecting judge. The number has not increased to our extent. Attorneys have referred matters to us, which we have successfully dealt with on behalf of inmates without them going to court. And when it comes to the mechanical restraint, then in terms of Section 1 of Section 5 of the Correctional Services Act, an inmate who has been mechanically restrained may refer the matter also to the inspecting judge. Then appeal on this matter in terms of the history are informed. In 2011-2012, we have 7. Then in 2012-2013 and 2014, not. Then in 2014-2015, only had one. Then the impact, we have not received a lot of this office. And the use of force. In terms of Section 32, Section 6 of the Correctional Services Act, all instances of use of force must be reported to the inspecting judge immediately. Use of force reported by head of center. Historical in a historical context like follows. In 2010-2011, we had 10, then in 2011-2012, we had 15, 2012-2013, 83, 2013-2014, was 191, then in 2015-2016, 421. The impact of this introduced a reporting tool with the help of DPL in 2012, and the number of reporting has it is was a lot of under pushing for the use of force on officials. Then on your question and education one, now we will talk on the issue of the special grief on the electrosclerosis outbreak at Baltimore Correctional Center. The disease, electrosclerosis, as known, it emanates from the when one is exposed to the urine of a rat, which a rat urinates on food, then one eats that food, then one likely to catch such then the incident at Baltimore related to the outbreak of leptospirosis after 2015 was preceded by an inspection from our office on the 29th and the 30th of June 2015. Among its findings were that warm water was not regularly available. Two, the inmates were not provided with beds and sleep on the floor. And number three, meals time were not served per the safety requirements. And number four, the level of hygiene, in particular, in the passages of C, D, and E units were unacceptable. Then the center was overcome. The full inspection report of the HC and AC and the RC is available as well as the minutes of the DC. Subsequent to the outbreak of the death of an inmate at the age of 52-year-old male was reported, and the cause of death was that a network death. We required corroborative evidence, and we were provided with the death certificate. The leptospirosis cannot be confirmed to be the cause. The medical legal post-mortem report is being awaited to confirm the actual cause. The British inspectorate has repeatedly reported on the shortage of water, excessive lapses in mealtime, condition of sleeping measures, and overcrowding, which led to the overrun, poor and unhygienic condition in the cluster. At the Visitor Committee meeting held on the 10th of June 2015, the ICCV proposed no maximum reported on the infestation of cockroaches, ants, and rats in the center. Quickly, if I can also hijack the situation. Last month, I accompanied the Public Service Commission to a visit in Portsmouth, and has witnessed in terms of the hygiene status of Portsmouth and also the country, which of course the police have reported to provide. Okay. At the following research committee meeting held on in Portsmouth on the 7th July 2015, it was reported that inmates got pimples and rashes because of lice infestation at Portsmouth Correctional Center. The area commissioner of Portsmouth was present at that meeting and informed that fumigation of lice were currently being cleaned out. Then in order to end with page 22, we are going to deal now with administration of the post-establishment as a 2015 financial year. This consists of 101 posts on the structure. 44 permanent, 42 are in the process of being advertised within this month, as I have understood. And emerging from the meeting which we had with the acting CPC HR yesterday. And also, we also have 15 posts from the Super Mansion 105 that still need to be funded. Currently, we have 26 contract employees on critical post. ICCD post establishment as of 26 January 2015. Out of 310 ICCD posts have approved and financed. Currently, we have 248 out of 310 fields, which is 80%. Then, those that are vacant, there are 53, which is 17%. And also, we have 9 centers that are still undergoing renovation, which is 3%. Recommendation, and in your document, it should be page 23. Chief offices to be generalized to all the public areas alluded to. Chief also invite the portfolio committee to build the operational center to settle those that are overcrowded, if time to meet. Honorable Ruler, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Secretary. Thank you very much, Jordan. And to all the colleagues, thank you very much for lending me here.
Thank you, Mr. members who know that this is an independent entity. You see, we have your delegation from Department of Correctional Services led by Mr. Mongeta. We have today a very to introduce the judge to us. Now, it's really very good that they are here, because you can see the interdiction between chiefs and the department, because the recommendation helps the department to improve on their services. But you know, Mr. Masoga, you are not the only entity that comes to us and say we want to decentralize, we want to increase the footprint. The Human Rights Commission does the same, the public sector does the same, everybody wants offices all over the country. And the question is whether we're not going to make sure that kind of action, that we get it at all levels and increase the bill, and therefore limit the capacity of the country to deliver the necessary services. For instance, you're talking about the sources of complaint. You say they come from the family government department, but are the families themselves not the important source, because the families visit their relatives in the correctional system, and the inmates will tell the families. And also, you know, we have disempowered the people. In the 80s, we used to have advisors in all communities, and parents, instead of traveling from the Abuja to Pretoria, they could go to an advice center in a and talk to those paralegals, and the paralegals will come to them. But now to say that this office is all over, people must come to offices, and people don't even manage to travel, but they could access the advice, and maybe those are the things that must be done. We also think that the Department of Correctional Services sometimes comes unnecessarily under fire for the weaknesses in society, not itself. Because there is a problem of moral degeneration in society. And the government launched the moral regeneration movement. If that moral regeneration movement helped, because moral degeneration is different. And because of the deepening moral degeneration, then you have many thousands of young actually the correction center, then the one to have the capacity to deal with the matter. The chief of the money is known as people are sent to the correction center who do not have capacity to deal with the matter. So I think that the work that we are doing is very successful.
Thank you for the presentation. I have a few questions. The first is in respect of the strategic objectives stated on page 6 of the presentation in terms in respect of oversight inspections on the conditions and treatment of inmates, which there has an estimated performance for 2015-16 of 41%. Which is in excess of the target effect. But then net share on page 13, when we have a look at an, sorry, not 13, page 11, when we have a look at the implementation of the National Inspection Plan, one would see that three of the four regional centres, as a matter of fact, over the 6 month period, underperformed in terms of the planned visits. So that, to my mind, doesn't really add up if we can get an explanation. Because they represented that only 77.5% of the planned inspections indeed took place. In terms of the issue of the separation of those deemed vulnerable, I see that children and women is identified here and the inspectors said that they are satisfied that the department indeed complies, but previously also members of the LGBTI community or section of society was included in this category as the vulnerable, and specific challenges were reported in respect of the separation in respect of that specific community. So if, I want to know whether they indeed been now removed from the category deemed to be vulnerable. If so, why, and if not, whether the Jews are really satisfied that this separation is effectively implemented across the country at all centers. Then, Chair, in respect of the complaint system using also the ICCD, I have a question in respect of access. And maybe also the ability of the GIC to advertise or make known the services of the independent visitors. So if we can be enlightened as to what is done to really sensitize both detainees and their families and other role players of the availability of this complaint system. And then lastly, Chair, you have referred to the independence of this institution, and we're leaning for here that the budget or the easing on the budget has been removed because that was indeed not apparently the mandate or the brief from our side in respect of today, and unfortunately indeed I could not be here yesterday. But I want some comments as to, in the past when we have had engagement with the GIC, one of the issues that has been identified continuously is that they feel that their independence is indeed maybe eroded by the fact that in terms of budget, they are finding themselves, so to call it, at the mercy of the department, and are not in a position to independently negotiate their own budget. And that is not in reality, at least all the potential of their independence being endangered by the department. So we don't have a budget briefing today, and I don't know whether it was indeed included yesterday. I would want some comment on that specific issue that's not included in this presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sander, for the presentation. I have the invitation to the committee to visit the Creation Centers, and I guess Chairperson Pugh, on a whole view, it's quite a good idea for us to visit at least some of them. Myself and our visitor told me that after the rest infestation issue we had and I must say that I was caught. The conditions are quite shocking. It's completely unhygienic, and I cannot see how those conditions are under correct by the and I really do think that we should study more to address this. And on that topic, Chair, you said we should put our heads together and find a way of dealing with these issues. And overcrowding is clearly one of them. It's not a problem that can be related to any one particular institution. I think it's a problem that we should find selected. And I hold a view that may not be a popular view. I have no idea. I'm aware that many people have not just made a lot of 500 or 1,000 and they're unable to pay. And so they're accepting email expenses for two or three years before they decide. And quite frankly, £1,000 not going to make anybody stand fine. It's a contract of £1,000, which is even something I think we can get it for as well as I think we should implement it now. We've heard this for years and years and years. And we should really try and find a way of getting together with the National Prosecuting Authority and find a way of dealing with those demands standing here as well as the government.
regions. I was using the same example of the coast, for example, of the coast of Kumana Lake. Here we have the southern management region and the central to the Mpontein and the eastern management region to the coast of Kumana. That was my last question. Thank you.
conflict and contribute meaningfully to the society. These of us, I can see that collective. One of the things I've just tried to understand they need, because we live in this society that is problem-oriented, problem-articulation-oriented. If you look at really the moral decay that is on, the level of moral decay, I mean, today, something called respect in South Africa for the animals. And I speak to people who work in institutions, because, you know, people know their rights, but they don't understand people's opinions. And this is something that has to be taken back in our focus, all of us. It's not supposed to be that the ability of many institutions to say, government is not going to go into the human rights now, which are supposed to relate to this responsibility. All of us should be conscious of that. Whoever we engage, as we promise them, protect their rights, we need to actually help them to understand their responsibility. If you just look at how other people are there and address other issues, so, when I grew up, you can see my age. There are certain ways of communication that I wouldn't have dreamt of using when I communicate to an adult at the time. But today, if you just have a sit out here and put an adult here, you don't see the difference. And I don't know, what I think is also on the other hand, you don't emphasize too much on religion. I don't think some things have gone down. You need to go back to the drawing board so that you build the moral fiber of Arafi. Because this for me says that the situation is coming to us. And people are getting and they're not supposed to be involved. But what do they do with an impossible situation? So you find that an immigrant says, I've got rights, but they don't do the right thing. So the right must always be coupled with responsibility. They actually help us to run the country in a way that is actually going to come about proper development. With overcrowding, in the mandatory suggestions that we make, but if you mentioned that in September, previously we had about 45 families in mandatory. But I'm going to say because of correctional services, the number has come down only with 1,000, now it's 44,000. But that is still too much. We really need to come up with a strategy that I think isn't taken into consideration. Look at how to achieve to make the largest platform to deal with the problem and deal with the assessment. So that the next time you come here, we all find out that things are the same situation. So to be giving that information about what is 2022 doesn't really help. Of course, I can't listen, but we have actually all the time people receiving information on problems. We want to know solutions. So let's go and fight with the whole issue of human rights. And this is what I was written by to say, it's not what you can afford to pay of 1,000 cents. And actually promote overcrowding. And at the same time, what you don't want to do is come up with a system where people say, I can't afford to come up with measures that ensure that only those who we are convinced cannot actually afford will then have to be let off. It is evident we talk about if you understand the issue of influence, you don't have to go there. But at the same time, you want to extend your offices, which has got huge cost savings. In the company that came, you want to actually share the and we have said, why not actually look at the approach of creating one stop center? Because it becomes so aggressive for the company, for everyone who wants to go develop offices all over. Unlike if you have one stop center. Look at that. It's nothing that I've got an answer for now, because I have not really looked at this viability. But somebody needs to do a viability plan for us. So that we don't have South African human rights commission coming, we want extra offices coming, so they want extra offices, this wants extra, and all other entities, everyone wants extra offices, and all of those are separate entities waiting in isolation, and all of those require money from the fifth level member. We're looking on cutting. So if your approach to running off of the bank and electron take this is really going to make it easier for the country. You indicated that in terms of some of the questions, the actual part from transport and this I guess is the NPO section. so many people when they got together, so many injuries, they find that can't go to the hospital. So then it means that you can give a position to what it is. For the ability of the public, and have the type of business. And I think it's something that can be all of those centers that you think that they should have been for people's money to reach the business. The bus is actually, I think that it's a nice to use the construction company that I use it over. Something like that. And I think it can be something that could be looked at and so that everybody then wants to be other partners who are in the position from this company. And all in all, I think, as far as we do have measures to make the life of our people good, make all for our people, and people find themselves in our people to be protected in a way that does not violate their human rights. But we need to do what we just need to do to teach our institutions recognition.
You know, most of the entities that are here for us, they're all the ones independent, without actually having a guide to follow. For instance, China has more than a billion people. highest events. Here we have a ministry to talk with you. We have 7 race, class, color, and gender. And now our institution infusing that ministry, and our schools, our church, infusing that ministry. So we need to correct the human being. The race, the human being. But if we focus on punishing the unchanged human being, we're not going to achieve that. So I think we really need a fresh look at our society in general. And this whole question of moral agenda, that's what we need to punish in itself. That's where we get to the putting more money, so that that structure can help us build the character of our youth and our children, so that they don't become criminals.
And administration also have Kuana and also Mr. Kusen and Mr. Bidwa. This, of course, I may be limited to that, mainly on this, on this one, on the issue of the independence. Honourable members, not normal or prayer, if I can put it in that question. Normal or prayer. Our prayer with regards to that is that we just requested that our funds have to be reinvested so that we respond and we can't get a situation whereby we present to that you will take this amount and also by the so if and also for the involvement of us in those meetings, because up to so far we were not invited to any other additional questions. So we were just told that the Publicity Commission and this is our and maybe based on the commission. But in most cases we know that we have estimated for this amount and highly possible that we get that because of the data. And of course, for those, please, you assist me in terms of those questions that there was a question on the issue of the underperformance, as we have stated. My attempt to this question is that the underperformance emanates straight to the capacity that we have currently. But currently, we are working with CASASA. We don't have members whom we had before who were associated with the inspection, investigation, and so on. But also, just Mr. Kusensu was very much on this issue. And also, there was a question on the ICCD appointment. And maybe if I had a question for that, how is that and also the involvement of the committee members? Nobody wants to do, we send our staff to the committee and do what we call calling for nomination, where they engage with the with the members of the public and also inform them in terms of what is the office doing, and then after they will issue them with the application forms, and whoever is interested from those organizations, NGOs in the community, then they will apply and then they will be appointed as vice president. And also on the issue of, I spoke on the issue of the budget, the 60 level go to, on the issue of the investigation, the prosecution of the countries, just the legal, our legal session will be on that. And on the issue of offices in line with the CCS offices. When I joined GIC, this first came to my mind because I guess it's a common cause, some kind of department of foreign affairs, which I went there for over 8 years. So when I joined them, I then had this thing in mind that I guess it would be proper for this office, as it is oversized to this place, to be in line with the offices of this place, wherever they are, so that we're able to engage more, we're able to, for example, in the Patent Life, for example, in county, where we're the majority, it is sending the Mpumalanga around there, and the Gauteng, and also the home. Okay. Yeah. Then it's only an office with about 8 people, right? Isn't it? 11 now. Yeah. It's only an office with 11 people, and on all of those conditions, it's so far. But welcome the idea that probably maybe if we can have sort of like satellite offices whereby the ratio to the members of the party, that might assist. Sorry. Okay. And on the issue that you said, if I'm permitted, of course, to support or to talk also on the issue of the skills development or image. Of course, I guess DDS will bear witness or will agree with me. When I joined DDS, I joined DDS as a teacher, and I was a teacher for about 6 years in the local police. Whereby by that time, inmates were doing the machine. I think it's happening, and I guess it can happen again. Inmates were doing, so I understand that they also do the building. I think that it can be then on the issues of the cost of death, the professor, Mr. Nkana, will bring on that. And also on the issue of use of force. Colleagues, we sympathize with the death. Let me say, I sympathize because I know them. I know how things are. And I had a practical example whereby I've seen an inmate calling a member with parents. What do you expect the member to do? And another person would like go, mad, and then what will happen in the afterwards? But we don't encourage that member to then approach him. But I like the way the member has handled that situation. But he just went to the head of the center and decided to go home and have the rest of the day at home and okay, so much as that. Okay. And again, on the issue of the overcrowding. On the issue of overcrowding. Honorable members and Honorable Chairman and my lord, with the late justice here, we sort of requested that the judge
and also the magistrate should visit the center so that they can see the overcrowding has taken place. When they start to postpone the cases, they should have an idea that what is that they are creating at the and also, I don't know how can DGF can be assisted on this one on the issue of the electronic monitoring system, but apparently, what I know, according to the knowledge that I have, that they should only check about 100,000 the whole country. I'm not sure, but subject to quality. But that can be assisted on this. I don't know how. Yes, I guess other staff members to speak can assist in whatever question that I have jumped. Yes, colleague.
Who is from the Southern Council?
Yes, thank you very much.
Professor, maybe you will. You know, there are so many universities and technical in this country. They have lecturers who sit there and they are supposed to teach what they understand. And the experience of what they want to teach is wonderful. What stops us from getting the lecturers, social work students, psychology students, psychiatry students, law students, to volunteer and work with the lecturers in prison and provide free training, because they are sorry, students who gain experience. And so why are not using this resource? And we always say we should try to, when we can get volunteers to participate.
Thank you, sir. Like if you want the professor should pronouncing the name. I don't know why my parents take me from here. They are putting me
your parents wanted to inspire you to become a professor. Now you didn't actually, we should make a rule that nobody should be called doctor or professor.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll answer two questions that were asked about assault and torture, and then also on death. What happens with assault and torture? The department will conduct their investigation, and then we'll also do an inquiry. And then once we receive the department's report, then our inquiry will do a ruling with our findings and recommendations. And then in more cases, what will happen once we've done our ruling or findings? We'll usually say to the department, if we do find out that the alien assault on the inmate, we'll recommend that officials make the disciplinary hearing. And also, if there was no such case open, we'll also take the inmate, because the ruling will also go to the inmate. We'll also inform the inmate that they must approach us and open a case. The DPS will have to call the search in to open a case. So far, as inspectors, we have not approached the court, search to open cases on behalf of inmates, because the act is not clear as to what happens in those situations where there was an assault, a torture, or even where the inmate, the official assault and the inmate that led to his death or death. What we can do is only to do recommendations that the act does not necessarily tell us to approach the court and open cases. It's been silent on that. If I can just move to the issue of death, as well, because what we have found is that most causes of natural death are TB, HIV-related illnesses, pneumonia, and so forth. Also, what we also picked up in some of the tests, when you find that the inmate is died of natural hazard, when we do get the investigation report, and you find that an inmate could have gone to the center, but during the process of admission, there has not been a process whereby the inmate could be thoroughly checked by a doctor. It's just a point where they'll just quickly assess the inmate and then fill out that form, the health and admission form. And what we've also picked up is most of the inmates want a voluntarily disclosed as to if they are sick. They'll just say, I'm not sick. Three or four years later, you find that the inmate has just got TB, but you're not sure whether they contracted TB on the outside or on the inside. Sometimes you also find the HIV positive, but when they went into the center, they did not communicate to the official that, in fact, I'm suffering from HIV, I'm receiving ARDs, and so forth. And I think I've covered everything. On the issue of use of force, again, what we're trying to say on use of force is when officials are using force, it must be proportional to basically the incident, what was happening there. They cannot inmates was when they do something, they don't come back 10 or 15 minutes later and say now we are using force. It must be at the spur of the moment. So sometimes it's not possible to get let's say inmate self-defense. You will not be able to get permission from the health center because you have to use force then. But again, it must be proportionate to the incident. Let me give you an example. Let's say now an inmate slapped an official, right? There's two officials. The inmate, what the official is supposed to do in that case, you'll get the inmate, you can handcuff the inmate, and then you'll solve that situation. They can come the inmate and then put them on the chemical set. It's allowed by the act. You don't want the situation where now the inmate has left an official, and now the official goes away, calls other officials to come and deal with the inmate. Then you say, no, that is not allowed. And some of the things we see happening in some of the professional centers. Thank you.
Maybe someone else can answer this question. The question is, shouldn't we place social responsibility on the side of university and say both university teachers and students must carry out social responsibility work in the correctional field and ask the university to expand the scope of their law clinics. So law clinics should not only include law students. We need to involve social workers, psychologists, psychiatric students, so that this law clinic at the university can do work in the correctional sense. The students will gain practical experience. The expertise in the university will contribute to the human resource needs in the correctional sense. And actually, that will help the students to develop a social culture. Because at the moment, our students are trained, receive training, and gain skills to make money and have more cars, and you can't build society with people like this. They are like nationals, training nationals. Can we hear from you?
Yeah, thank you for that. When I was writing I hope that still the more social work will go to the university and then after request students who are about to finish their qualifications to come and do what you call extension learning. And secondly, we will have those who voluntarily apply to the GPS for an extension learning. That is the thing. And I don't know so far whether it's still continuing or not. And we have a different kind of discipline. Both the students and the social media, but a lot of social media and psychologists who are not, let me say, when I say psychologists, I mean the one who are still pursuing their master, but they lack the experience. So the condition then that for a person to be appointed, not only the user, as an experiential learner, first the institution should provide a letter that says this person, for him to qualify under this qualification, he has to undergo experiential learning. I hope if that can change, whoever was volunteer in terms of it, I know currently there is a person who has just finished HR, but it's so difficult for him to get experiential learning because he has to first to get a letter from the institution that says, when I say institution from the university, or from the university that says he has to undergo experiential learning. If that can change, probably we have a lot of people who apply for the experiential learning.
Person learning who are possessing degrees and diplomas. I don't know whether I try to
I'm more than willing to answer, yes, of course, for a fee. I don't know whether this has to be able to learn or less, but,
I think you indicated why we are here today, and I think additionally to that, as every community would know, we were here yesterday, and it's also to have a better understanding from correction services provided in the youth presentation to the community, as well as to the questions and responses, so that you can see how can we as a collective assist and ensure that the decision is more professional in the future. I think what you're experiencing this morning is totally different than presentations of a year and 2 years ago from this. So I think one really appreciates the better collaboration between DCS and its recourse. I think that the lawmaker is clear, and that is also part of our training here. Jay, maybe just on a few matters. I think you and your committee expressed yourself in terms of that we need to do more with what we have, more effective ways and more initiatives, because the budget, you know, there's cost containment measures, and we need improved results and not necessarily spending on money. So I think your opening remarks need to be welcomed by both this as well as DCS, and we need to find ways to improve the results of this two entities and make sure that we don't only depend on money. Transfer of offenders, I think that is one of the areas which was mentioned. I think it's common course that the most of our crimes are committed in urban areas, and that is where the biggest overcrowding is experienced. I think Portsmouth was just an example being an urban area, and obviously we have to transfer those things irritability to other correctional facilities just to ease the burning cost. It's also important to mention that the Correctional Services Act is also clear. As a man or anger is close to the he or she must be transferred back to the correctional facility closest to their home so that we can then facilitate and ease the overcrowding after the social integration. Pardon me. And in terms of false work, I think we can confidently say at the department as well as Observation 6 that what was observed during the middle of last year, Patrick as well as Judge Cameron, is a different force for today. We were blessed in January this year whilst the newly appointed inspector that was still in the Constitutional Court. We visited Portsmouth and I think he personally also observed that there is a change. We know that it's not an overnight thing, but it shows a commitment that we really want to see a difference and ensure a difference next year. There was also a question on bail, and on every given day, of the 4,000 money payees, there's about 15% who do have bail. Meaning, if they have bail and they can't afford it, it's again the issue of poorness. Because if you have money, you can pay. If you don't have money, then you will be in remand. So that's that clarity. CDC remand. Mr. Rotman will maybe just highlight a little bit on section 49, as the question that was asked. Chair, on soft torture, I think here it's very straight. The law is clear. Assault torture is a criminal offence, and our policy is saying that those cases need to be investigated internally and reported to South African Police Service. So if JICS find that the case is not reported, they need to come into play and ensure that those cases are reported. However, what we are experiencing, some of the complainants don't want to make criminal charges. So you might open a charge and then there's no complainant. Then the case is there, but there's no case. So, and maybe also to mention that we know that the gang activities play a major role in whether you are going to open a criminal case or not. So that is always a reality that we can't ignore. Chair, use of force. I don't think we need to try to explain this. The law is clear, Chair. When necessary and the situation warranted the use of force, we need to include the word minimum force because you can only apply force to manage and contain the situation. Anything more than that becomes a criminal offense. I think that line is clear, and we don't need to maybe have examples to say that if this and that, because I think the courts have expressed themselves in this regard, and we know you are on that hot spot and you need to take a decision. If you're taking the right decision, it's fine. Taking the wrong decision, you will need to face the consequences. So in terms of the question of cases against DCSPs. Citizens and honorable members, we have several correction officials who are serving in prison for overstepping the boundaries of assault and minimum force, and we have those examples. The overcrowding, I think the National Commissioner yesterday's meeting, he announced that we have this team between us and NDP, as well as other role players, to look in the issue of crowding, with specific reference to the remand families. So I don't want to go into that detail again. Chair, and the depth of sclerosis, Chair, I think all of us have learned after this incident at Baltimore, because it was something that was, let me put it this way, when we asked the Department of Health for protocols health and managing, it was only established there. So meaning that this is not something common. It's also important to note that once this was at Portsmouth, also people in society, in the environment of the Western Cape, also had the same, and also a community member passed away, which is not related to the Portsmouth incident. So just to contextualize that, Chair.
Chair, when Jaffi was talking about the problems that we are suffering facing nowadays in South Africa, she was reminding me of the three Q's that they are using sometimes. Three Q's, Chair, is Kala Kuleka Kesa. We find that we never apply that as easy as well as a country. And that may be, I don't know how can we translate this for people who don't understand the Kala Kuleka Kesa. Lastly, the issue of the VHIs, you know, the TBHIV, and we're glad to have such one of these decisions. Chair, there's no policy in the country that we can make health testing compulsory as a machine. And I think also the speakers who said that if the individual don't divulge the information voluntarily, you will not know. And this is a constant matter that we are seeing how can we do it, but we know the Department of Health is also in the process to review their policies, but we are also guided by that chair. If I might, then I just ask CDC Rotman to maybe just address this to 9G. But Chair, thank you also for the comments that indicate what we see DC is basically a footprint of what is happening in society. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that you are also giving the opportunity to respond to some of the issues. On 49G, I think it's important to remember that the responsibility of DC is primarily to refer everybody who has reached 2 years within our facilities under remand to the coordinate for every year thereafter. We are monitoring that in terms of our operation plan, which the actual be to our APDs. So in this coming year, we will have one of those figures. We do expect that our cases refer 100% of those qualifying to the court. We have seen, so if the commission requests, you can certainly get some of those figures from the previous year, so that you can see how many have been referred. But the challenge that we've seen is that we've actually get responses back from the books that we refer to. So in the figures that we've seen over the last few months, we will see this is how many we've referred. Possibly 30% have been a decision, and in the others we've actually to get that decision back from the court. So it is something that we have raised within the various structures that we have together with the judiciary on a local level, but also with the provincial efficiency enhancement committee, so that you can see how we sort that out. So, but we do see from all those results that come back, mostly the decision is to keep you from that.
Thank you.
Honourable
Majority and Mr. Snowden, because you are English, I want to assist you. That Kala Kuleka Enpeta.
Kala Kuleka
Enpeta is commence, continue, and complete. That people say strategy. So you really assisted us. Thank you.
Mr. Sanders?
I think it's going to be indicated just on the record. I would ask him to explain his name. But before he does so, I don't know if you know what he's doing.
I've been listening to your presentation. Yeah, thanks, yeah. And of course, your reply. I just want to start in a small response. I think this raises some serious questions. Saying that people are coming to not know. So that's our soon as I get to serve the other people with the deaf people. So I'm responsible for whatever to know what it is, what it might be. I'm not sure about ARV, but in the light of the fact that there is person, I think also that is important that I understand. Secondly, I was really worried. I think you helped me when the professor was professor was saying that very little they can do if they find that a criminal offense has been committed. I was quite afraid, and I thought that the duty of every student to make sure that every peer is aware of the thirdly is that your independent record. I thought it was saying that I'm not saying that there could be no proper relations, but I think that you need to say that it's not all well, the relationship between two organizations. I don't think that officers take to hide when you come in. Because you are not inspectors, nobody loves inspectors. So when they decide to give you a certain amount of money, I think it's important that we here make sure that a particular amount is allocated to you. Be aware of that amount so that you don't depend on their mess. But I think we need to know how much you need. These are clear. And we then see from that.
The previous financial year it was 47 million, and
I can work on the issues of the based on the inspection that I have contacted. I went to the climate team and also to Jordan. Based on the ban of Victoria, whereby the active schedule is more actually controlled to the way how we are treated in this session. And there have been things, the way the session is much better. And I think that I can't say it here. And then when, of course, when I went to Jobet, specifically I went to the old age unit, whereby there was a question on the humidity of which I believe is seriously very much, but especially on the issue of Holtmann. In the meeting that we had with the area commissioner, of course, the center was humidated, and during my visit with the public service commission, yes, there was a very big difference in terms of the cleanliness of the place compared to the data of figures. But I can say in terms of the communication.
Thank you very much. It was like see that the question has asked to say issues that we know you have not done.
I would like to say, and then they speak to a woman that, and say, my Lord, I would like to ask you. For a long time, I want to get back to his voice. But I suppose the correct title would be God's or Justice. I don't know. I don't really care very much about these things. Just taking point, I have a few very small things to say. Yes, as pointed out by Mr. Smolager and others, judges also visit correctional facilities. Indeed, the legislation, if I remember correctly, has also been a tradition over many, many years, especially when judges are on circuit court and they are close to a correctional facility which is sort of far away from any center. Then they go to the local prison and see how things are going. At the Constitutional Court, we decided a few years ago, strongly prompted by my colleague, Justice Cameron, that the Constitutional Court judges must try to set an example and hope that other judges will pick up on it. So we, at the Constitutional Court, we actually have a timetable, and every year we decide, we ask where judges would like to go, and it is strongly, strongly encouraged. I am open to give feedback to my colleagues depending on the correctional services and the effective, whether they think it is useful or not. I'm not sure if it's not useful if too many judges visit the place and there is some confusion as to what you're doing there. I also don't know at this stage whether judges in the High Court, and for that matter magistrates, to what extent they actually participate in this. I don't know if one should duplicate reports too many times, because I suppose there are some themes that recur all the time. You have made an additional reason here why judges and magistrates should visit the correctional facilities, is so that they can see what the results are of their own action, regarding granting bail and postponing. But more specifically, Mr. Spelzer, sorry, Mr. Smolberg. One of the last things I did before my 12-year term on the Constitutional Court expired at the end of January this year was to visit Pulsware. And, you know, the judges have been very courteous. We always give the correctional facility notice. We don't want to walk in unannounced. It may sometimes be necessary. So we don't always know what we are presented with then, to what extent it is the true situation. People invite you for nice tea, all kinds of traditions and so on. However, following on a report by Justice Cameron earlier, general events, we were specifically taken to the areas where the rats were supposed to be raining previously. And it did seem to be there was a big improvement. It may be given to us that the party resulted from inmates throwing food out of the window into a kind of a beach or something just outside that particular block. However, you know, members of this committee, we all realize that overcrowding is a problem, but I'm not sure we realize how serious it is until we go there. You know, we talk generally about a cell for 20 people, and now there are 14 people in it. That sounds bad enough. But if I remember correctly, and today I'm really confused, or my memory is really bad, but can you imagine a cell? Or a room where between 15 and 20 people in the house, or between 14 and 20, with 96 people. Yeah, 96, not 40 or whatever. The beds are on three levels. There's some waiting and sit on top. They lie on the middle part, they lie on the bottom part. Some lie on the floor, some sit on the floor. I'm not sure how general that is, whether that was just a very, very, very temporary situation. But that is the kind of problem that the private waiting business or private waiting inmates or whatever they are called are in places like Baltimore. It's unbelievably good. And then there's one toilet and one shower and one wet place. And people wash their clothes and they hang their underwear over the bed to dry and that stuff. And then when you ask them what are they complaining about, they say they want to keep. Okay, the issue of this, I'm saying this is purely an observer, the nature of salt is torture. Yes,
I understand under your contract there is a pretty clear line between a force that is necessary and then a force of a force to commence a certain situation. I understand self-defense that of course any person, for that matter, I presume the in the direction of society also has the right in law to defend yourself if an immediate attack is the assault can be anything from pushing somebody away with the back of my hand, or you know, or pushing my hand into his face to a much more serious attack with kicking and beating and so on. But torture, I don't know where the torture can be, because that's a completely different act from assault, from what I understand. The Rabbi Lee case, it was a very story in legal circles, a very controversial judgment. It dealt basically with causation, with causation in the law of dealing. And it was, if I remember, a 5-4 decision. I was the vote number 5. I was vote number 5, the last one to vote between the two judgments of Judge Kabide on the one side and Judge Cameron on the other side. The concern. Well, first of all, of course, although dealt with TB, but the court were full of people with HIV positive t-shirts on, so that is really what it was really about as far as being concerned. I think one has not worried too much. Yes, the department was held liable, but it will very much depend on the evidence in each particular case, because it has to do with how does one prove where you picked this up, where you got this. And if I remember, I have read the judgment recently, but one of my arguments it's not so much have to do with compulsory testing or anything like that, but if the department themselves say that we do have, well, first of all, this man contacted the disease and he said he did not have it when he went in the what plays a role for me personally as far as the weighing up of evidence, remember it's a civil case, so we're talking here about balance of probabilities. So, and you talk about the use of proof. So, if the department themselves, if they say that we have the following set of rules to prevent this kind of organization, this kind of event, but in this case we did not implement the rules, we did not apply them, then perhaps it follows logically that presumably the rules are aimed at preventing something. Now the rules were modified. So simply on a balance of probabilities, it is very possible that if the rules were applied, it would not have happened. Because otherwise, the rules wouldn't have any real custom. If we say, well, even if the rules were applied, who knows? Of course you can set up. But that's why I'm mentioning only on a balance of probability. We are here talking beyond reasonable doubt or anything. So I think the fact that each case will still determine liability, I think whatever is in for the department was must be taken seriously, but there were concerns in the criminality judgment about that risk that can become a very wide sort of basis for intellectual liability. And in academic circles, with the purest in intellect and causation and so on, they were quite critical about it because they did think that it goes too far. But one has looked with many reasons. There was a case recently, I cannot remember which one, where we actually tried to specifically look at the need again and to narrow it down to those kinds of circumstances. But it all depends on what evidence is available. Like for me, it was not a big ideological question. For me, it was a question of what evidence do we have and how do we meet the civil standards of proof of balance of probabilities. Last two remarks. The interaction, especially between you, Chair, and the rest of us, the whole the big solution versus the small solution or the immediate solution. I suppose that applies to everything we are doing. That we say, well, we have to make the plan, but these are symptoms. The bigger issue is our socio-economic environment, our moral fiber, etc. And I think that is very, very true, but I also think one must be careful not to create a circle so that you don't go forward in any event. Last night I had an enviable task of trying to chair a meeting of all the student organizations at the University of Victoria. And there's a wide variety of them, from different sides of the political spectrum, including far right-wing students, although they did not attend the meeting. But there one also, if you suddenly, the idea of the meeting was to simply try to agree on what constitutes peaceful demonstration in terms of the constitution. Not why it will demonstrate, but simply if you assume, starting with the constitution, that you have a right to demonstrate peacefully and unarmed, how does that, you know, fit into the university context? When is it peaceful, when is it no longer peaceful? But there you also very quickly people said, but we cannot do this without looking at why we demonstrate. Now then you know the whole issue of not only the language policy, but funding of universities and pharmacies and all of that. Now of course one has to address that you cannot really say what a peaceful protest on a university campus is if you don't know why people are protesting in the first place. But on the other hand, you cannot keep postponing the decision of the debate. What we need for the moment is for protest or for demonstration to take place, to allow for it, before the university or for the university to be able to manage, facilitate it, but not on the other hand for people to burn down libraries and whatever. Now, of course, you get many borderline cases. Maybe, deface a statue. Maybe he's painted with something, painted can be washed off immediately, and the next day is it still malicious damage to property or whatever. All kinds of things which may, in the university context, mean something slightly different than it would be criminal law or in another demonstration. But I think, whereas it is extremely important that we do see the bigger picture, I think one should, on the other hand, be careful not to use that as a way to close some of the things that can be done in your OC in the meantime. Because that's what really frustrates the academics, by the way, not really the radical students, but a very postmodern deconstructionist, savvy, young, mostly white, if I may say, so academics who try to sort of associate themselves. And almost everything you do is illegitimate. They sit with the whole meeting and then they say, but it's not legitimate because we haven't done this yet. So in the end, we will just go on. And there will be continuing chaos and nobody will know exactly what to do. That's all I'm trying to do. If you say to the students, whatever you practice for, let's try to limit it, to contain it to something that we can all agree on. That we don't have every time to argue about it. Now, of course, the other context may matter. Something like you, the hate speech on a poster, may depend on the topic, may depend on that light, whatever it is, male, female, etc. So I think we must all, speaking for myself, one must certainly think on how to link these kinds of reports and identifying all the problems with the bigger picture. But on the other hand, we cannot say, well, until the bigger picture is solved, we're not going to address everything. Until we find a new economic policy for South Africa, one that, in the case of there are 96 people in the cell phone, I don't think I'm saying anything particularly deep, but I'm just worried about where I absolutely realize even crime. If we say crime is the result of poverty, crime is the result of inequality, crime is the result of class discrimination, crime is the result of moral decay. But now in the meantime, we have to prosecute people. I find it guilty. I saw it as a judge in Victoria very often, and not so much in the constitutional court, but I was a judge in Victoria for 5 years. Now you come to the point, what do I got to do with this person? People say, well, don't prison interns, the rehabilitation doesn't take place, and, we must think of other new ways what to do and so on. But now, yesterday I sentenced somebody to 20 years for this crime. I cannot argue. They say, oh, let's think outside. Well, send you back to your matriculate or something. I was joking at the time, it was then fashionable for lawyers to ask on behalf of the advice for correctional supervision instead of going to that. And then, in every DP contrary argument, it's an interest book he says that correctional supervision is not necessarily a life sentence. It can be much harsher than a prison sentence. So I don't know why everybody is asking for it. actually So we have concerns like equality and equality before the law and all those kind of things. To come to the final sort of slightly dangerous discussion rather than to become pessimistic.
with my eyes after the criminal court, and I tried to understand why do people do things. One is very, very discouraged. Because I said that I was advised to point this from academia. I did not go through the recovery center, so I was idealistic in a criminal court. So I see that people do terrible things. They run into somebody's house, they retire and then they beat him up with the hammer so that it keeps him stuck to the walls on side. People break in and they kill a 70 or 80 year old woman while she's dying on the kitchen floor. They eat up the canisters, until they find the fingerprints on the canister post. Post mortem shows that she was raped, but it is not clear whether she was raped before or after she died. Now I sit there and I think, why are you doing this? And I hope they tell me something about the history, apartheid, quality. I see the photographs and the evidence. I see what the houses were made to look like. I see where the police found the TV and discovered the stolen. It is very hard to be in places like social media and so on. So how I wait for this is to say, I can't think of it, or, you know, my uncle molested me when I was a child, or poverty. You know what they say? They say, I didn't do it. You say that the fingerprints are on the scanner phones. I don't know how that works. So in the end, you are left. You don't know what can you do now. You want to try to understand, but sorry, I'm talking way beyond our topic now. Or I think it was my first judgment that I actually sent this book to life. So I was very nervous. Fortunately, there's no more capital punishment, but I thought it's a serious thing to do now. So I worked for nights on a very well-used judgment. And 3-4 paragraphs into the judgment, then the interpreter says accused number 1 in RCC can just sit down because he has 8, he has about 3 more weeks to live, and he's not really just listening to our public. And I see why you are going to spend 20 years in prison. So, the bottom line, I was always often amused, or not amused by the sound, but if I think of the history, the progress humankind might have made over centuries. Just think about absolutely immense progress we have made over this hard time. Technology, for example, cell phones here. I don't even understand how an ordinary telephone or a radio. We have all these wonderful things all over the world and satellites, but we have made so little progress on the social side to understand the most basic things. Why do people kill us? For reasons of none. We have read books about serial killers, we don't know why that is, and we don't know what to do with it. We don't know whether we should try to beat good behavior into them, or lock them up, or educate them, or rehabilitate them. We know none of those things, and therefore we end up with a situation where we have 44,000 people even waiting for a trial because another thing, of course, that I see more and more happening is, I don't know whether that relates at all to the background. It's not only the court, I think. I think there's an increasing tendency for accused to use, as their lawyers, to rely on very small technical detail to have the case postponed to challenge the legitimacy of the signature on the stamp on the blood sample for alcohol. So the rules of criminal procedure, we are there to ensure a fair trial, and the fair trial is not only there to protect the accused, the fair trial is there to protect society also, because if you convict the wrong person, then the real criminal is not enough. Those things are sometimes used as a game. Lawyers make money out of it, but on that note, which I know is actually dangerous in this context. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to speak with you, and I hope to see you again. And I hope we can, or the exchange about the role of universities, I don't know enough about participating in it, but I think that is a very useful thing to think about. I know of many students, criminology students, my prison visits. I mean, friends of my children and so on. us and they know what they would like to see and would like to work on it, they would like to, you know, to do something inside. So I think one must work on the big picture as well as the small one. But we cannot really afford to say this one first and then the other one. Of course, one has to understand the big picture, otherwise you do the wrong things in the institution. You may make mistakes. But we have to keep a strategy which involves both the big picture and the immediate needs. Thank you.
It was really, really good to have you talk from and I was still prepared to listen. And I think all of us were still prepared to go through. But it's very helpful for observing that we are more than we are advanced, we are then all these things are ourselves. So our problem is we don't understand also. Maybe that justifies why we should involve them.
My question is, how did your career concierge turn to your citizens? Should I ask the same question?
Because they are in prison, they are entombed, awakened. But today, we don't awaken people. And from that, we become animals. Conduct is that of animals. That's why we kill one another, we eat one another, we rape other people, and so on and so on. So there's something wrong with society. So I want to thank that from the president to say we are advanced in all other respects except in understanding ourselves. So maybe that's why we need a social dialogue. We need to make this thing a societal issue so that in the process, hope that we will get the type of citizens who will understand that if they find the fingerprints are there, there's no other way you can explain it for them. Judge, thank you very much, and honorable members and members of the inspectorate and DSCS, thank you very much. I think that everybody enjoyed this meeting. Very instructive. I think we will go out to better people and do better. I work on instructions, so I direct the meeting so that I can get fresh instructions. Okay, we'll adjourn for 5 minutes and then go to the house. The Human Rights Commission will be coming. And the shortlist.